So when you make an offering to the Arya level, you're making it distinct that among all sentient beings, they are Arya level. Right? Like our Malaysian king, when we have a something like a scepter or whatever that represents his dominions over all men in our country, he has that kind of symbolism. Alright? So he has dominions. And but when you offer that, it symbols that he has it. It's a symbol that he has it to people. Alright? Therefore, when you offer the parasol to an Arya being, you're offering to their Arya level. It means that you are different among others. So hence, what happens is, the victory parasol also represents that parasol protects you from the weather, rain, and sun. So when you have that Arya level, you are protected from all samsara's fears. Let us think in. So hence, like a parasol being offered to an Arya being, by offering this, may I come under your protection. And by making that prayer, may I come under your protection, you create the direct causes to achieve their level to be protected by your own Arya level. So it's not worshipping them ultimately for them to protect you, it's worshipping them and making offerings to them initially to create the causes that you can be protected by Arya mind, Arya beings. And why can that Arya being be? Arya being be yourself. So that's how you connect it. Understand? Think about it carefully, don't forget. Tell me Paris again, in your own words.
Okay. We offer a parasol to Arya beings as an offering to their exalted state of mind, which is their Arya mind.
And what is the Arya mind? Give me a quick definition.
Mind that has transcended and is above samsara.
That's very cute. Give me a better description.
It is a mind that's protected from...
Shin? What makes a person Arya? What is the distinguishing characteristic of their mind that makes them Arya?
Yeah, him.
Of what?
Wisdom and compassion.
What makes a person Arya?
Freedom from samsara.
What makes them have freedom from samsara?
Yeah, practice.
No, that's a method. If their practice frees them from samsara, they're not free. They're still practicing. That's why hence you call practice. Mm. Don't just blurt out big words. Think. It's very simple. What makes them an Arya? What quality must an Arya have to be supreme among men and gods?
Control over their own minds.
What else? What makes them have control over their own mind? What quality in their mind makes them have control? What quality in their mind makes them have control?
Realizing intellect.
That's one. That's called wisdom. The other? Very good. All the things that you've been throwing out at me just now are all culminating in wisdom and bodhicitta. Culminating. So you just say practice, when you just say renunciation, it doesn't work. What makes them Arya being is that they have more concern for others and not for themselves. Wouldn't that make you unique among samsara existence? That's what makes them Arya being. So the level of their concern for others and the steadiness of it in the and the consistency of it would be the 10 stages of the bodhisattva. So when they reach 9th stage, 8th stage, 7th stage, naturally they'll be better and better and better until they reach the last stage, 10, then Buddhahood. So hence, what makes them an Arya being, what differentiates them from other beings that are non-Arya is their genuine, real concern for others and their ability to enact their concern. So that concern for other beings solely is bodhicitta, and the ability to enact it will be skillful means. And then becoming an Arya will be based on wisdom, realization of the emptiness, or any level of it. Okay? So those exalted states is what you're offering a victory parasol. And the victory should be a hint, because what are they victorious over? Samsara. Mana. Their own selfish mind. So hence, when you offer a hari, or you offer a parasol over an enlightened being like Vajrayini, you are making offerings to her Arya level state of mind. So when you make an offering to her Arya level state of mind, you make a direct connection to that mind and plant seeds to achieve it in the future when you practice. So how beautiful the material is, how wonderful the material is, and how it's done up nicely and offered up to her will also create even more merits. Why? Because how well you do it is how much time you have spent on it in order to recognize and celebrate her enlightened mind, as opposed to using that time for frivolous, non-beneficial activities. And how much you put into it, and I'm talking about expenses, of course that's subjective. How much you put into expenses would be increasing your parameter of giving, whereas normally you would just give to yourself. So by making it as beautiful and as expensive as possible, according to your subjective means, all right? Because some is, if you can spend 10 rupees, that's very expensive. For some it's 100 rupees, so that's subjective, depending on you. When you offer to Arya mind, you again are directly connecting the parameter of giving to the Arya mind. So it's even more beneficial. Hence, when you're doing the practices, when you're making the hari, when you make the offerings, with great awareness, knowing what you do. Don't just simply say, oh, I collect merit. What type of merit? What kind of merit? How does it benefit you? You need to know. You need to know so your faith is stable. And hence, when you do it, you do any kind of Dharma work, it's great joy. It's great happiness. And you do it with a lot of enthusiasm. And you never get tired of doing it. Why? Because you know the benefit. I'll give you an example. Do you guys ever get tired of eating Malaysian food? No. So there is this possibility that your mind doesn't get tired of things, correct? Does David ever get tired of having money? No. No. So is it possible that your mind can reach a level where it never gets tired of something? Okay. How? Knowing its benefit. The benefit of having money. David has the freedom to spend and help as he likes. For example, or, all right, let's be realistic, buy statues. You understand or not? So hence, simply making offerings saying, oh, it has benefits, it's meritorious, that's wonderful. Understand it more. And don't be haphazard and half-hearted about it. Why? Because when you understand it, your enthusiasm to do Dharma work will never abate. And the difficulties that you endure when you do Dharma work will not be seen as difficulties. It will be purification. Why? Because your mind is happy to endure for a higher purpose. Your mind is happy to endure for a higher purpose. What's that higher purpose? For yourselves to achieve the Arya mind. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank
you. So hence, putting all those jewelry on Lord Vajrayini and making her place beautiful and decorating the area beautifully and offering flowers should be done with great excitement. And the minute you walk into the house, your mind should immediately focus to the altar, immediately focus to Vajrayini and say, how do I make that beautiful? Not yourself. That's how attained people or advanced people or people who know Dharma always are interested in their altar, always are interested in making offerings, always are interested in the Buddhas and the statues. They're not interested in much other things. Why? Because the benefit has sunk in. So it's spontaneous. So hence, like you three are young, and you've been here for months. And when you know the benefits of the Lajang, you know the benefits of the land, you know the benefits of painting and everything you do here at the Brother Land House, all your work becomes joyous. And then you transform. Let me tell you why you transform. Because all the difficulties you have endured becomes a source of joy. Whereas last time before the Dharma, any difficulties become a source of unhappiness. So how do you transform? Because you are focused on doing something that brings you to Arya level, as opposed to the opposite. And then your enthusiasm to do Dharma work, and just let go, and just enthusiastically do it happily, no matter what difficulties come. That itself brings you to a higher, higher level. Because any Dharma work benefits others. Any benefit to others bring you to the level of Arya. And when you become an Arya, any level, you can even be more beneficial to others. So it's like a wheel of sharp weapons that cuts away at Maras. So hence, for you guys to be here and say, okay, you know, I can imagine 100 thoughts going through your mind for the last few months, but for you to say, okay, I let go. I'll be here. When I'm told to go back, I'll go back. When I'm told to stay here to do, I'm here to do. And you're not being controlled. You're told to do just when the work is done and not done because you don't know the whole picture. You're not told to do. You have chosen to do it. So the timing is not what you're being told. The timing is just when it's done and not done. But you chose to do it, so you happily, happily do it. So all that you have endured, all that you have done, all that you have been here doing is to benefit others. And the more you realize that, the happier you become, and the more you surrender, and the more you open up, and that's when you transform. Why? Because then happiness arises from doing work for others directly or indirectly. And doing work for yourselves become unhappy. That's when you're entering the door of Aryas. Because before you met the Dharma, doing things for yourself was great pleasure. And doing things for others, if it benefits you, if it was along the way, if it was all right, fine. But now your mind is starting to transform to say, wait a minute. How come I feel happy doing all this? It's not my house. It's not my statue. Rinpoche, the monster tyrant, is here. And there's no escape for any of us. Why am I happy? Because you know the purpose. Why do I not so look forward to going back to Malaysia and going back to my routine, all this? Because you have realized that your routine doesn't mean much anymore. And that's how you transform. And your anger, your frustration, and your feeling of, I want to finish fast, becomes less and less. It arises because you're normal. It arises. But how it affects you is less and less and less. You still do it. Last time you just say bye. You know, forget it. You don't have to be bitchy. But now you say, okay, I feel like that, but I'm still going to do it. And then your moods go up and down as you do it. It goes up and down as you do it because your Arya mind, your Arya nature, is fighting your samsara nature. And they're having an ongoing battle. So therefore, even offering a victory banner, we can weave it into a Dharma talk to explain how your mind is actually transforming now. And how doing work to benefit others, you're becoming happy. And even being in the wilderness, somewhere really far away from everything, you're still becoming happier. And how that will affect you to be happy, ultimately doing things for others and absorbing the difficulties for others. Absorbing the difficulties for others doesn't mean you take their karma. It means for their sake, you do work without them even knowing that it's benefiting them. And your minds are transformed more and more. And what is it transformed from? Selfishness to selflessness. And that's what's making you happy. It's not even the Dharma work anymore. It is knowing that your mind is transforming. Think about it. Isn't that profound? And then benefiting others, giving things to others, helping others, sacrificing yourself for others, giving of yourself to others will become more and more spontaneous. You know why? Because the fleeting glimpses of happiness that you feel from doing this now will become very powerful. It's like a lightning in a dark sky, a quick lightning. Although the lightning is very quick, it lights up the whole landscape. And soon that lightning will turn into day, when the whole landscape is just lit up. When it's all lit up and you can see it clearly, it's like achieving the Arya mind. Think about all that. So every single Dharma work you do, cherish it, love it, and do it with great spontaneity and enthusiasm, and no matter what difficulties that come, I accept. That's how the mind becomes stronger. That's how a Malaysian princess transforms into Mother Teresa. That's how a Malaysian court jester transforms into Mahatma Gandhi. That's how a bimbo from Malaysia transforms into the Dalai Lama, overseeing part of us. You guys understand? You think about that. So now your mind doesn't connect it directly, but it's starting to connect that when I do this, I'm kind of happy. When I do this, I'm kind of happy. When I do this, I'm getting happier. Okay, I'm not happy today, but I was happy yesterday. And then tomorrow you're happy again. Whereas before you met Dharma, you wouldn't be happy about any of this. Because you can see your mind starting to relate at doing things for others is happiness. Doing things for yourself is not. That's why we don't want to wait till we're 40 or 50 or 60 to realize that and then start saying, oh, I want to do Dharma. And then you're trapped. You got the kids, you got the wife, you got the husband, you got the car, you got the loans, you got the house payments, you're trapped. Or you have the money, you have the titles, you have the properties, you have the inheritance, or you have your business, and you're just trapped. Because then you just indulge in yourself. Either way, it's a trap, whether you're poor or rich. So you should think, wow, this whole experience has been about generating the mind that feels great bliss and happiness and others have benefit. And generating the mind that does not feel bliss and happiness when it's for yourself. This is what this whole experience is about. The merit you did is for your Lama, according to the Tibetan tradition, sorry to say, the highest merit you can get is when you serve your Lama. Okay, that's not insinuating I'm enlightened. That's according to the texts. By serving the Lama, you have benefited tremendously. I'm sorry, you have collected tremendous merit. By being here and enduring, you have fought your non-arya mind. And by rejoicing in your work, by rejoicing, the reason we rejoice and hug is getting in touch with that mind and feeling happy and getting familiar with that type of happiness. Let me repeat. When you rejoice, you are getting used to getting happy from that type of happiness. That type of happiness that arose from doing things for others. So when you rejoice, it is a glimpse, it is touching, it is getting used to a type of happiness that you get nothing. Inverted commas. Isn't that beautiful? Think about all that. So eventually, what's the goal? To be extremely excited to benefit others. Extremely tolerant of situations that would benefit others. And extremely giving of oneself and whatever one has, even one's health and life, to benefit others. That's the goal of the practice. You guys get it? So the goal of all this is to exist for others, to reincarnate for others, to take rebirth for others, and to breathe for others, that everything you feel is for others, and you abide in that state. And you know what's the funny thing? To ordinary people who don't know Dharma and doesn't have wisdom, they say, oh, but what about me? Oh my God, you'll be so happy you won't even think about you or me. Do you get what I mean? Automatic. Have you ever met a Buddha that's depressed? Have you seen Tara in counseling? Have you seen Tsongkhapa on the, you know, on the famous psychiatrist's couch? Have you seen Vajrayani going for, you know, motivational talk because she feels down? No. You will never be unhappy again. So hence the whole experience is to tell yourself, look, I am capable of doing things under extreme conditions and be happy and rejoice and want more. That's what you let yourself know these few months. And the secret here, let's go one level more. And you want more. Yeah, for that one, Paris like, and want more. What is want more? This is nothing. Whatever it takes to benefit others, I will do it. And when you recite the Bodhisattva Chaitavatara or the Shantideva's motivational verses or his dedication verses, instead of just being so adamant about benefiting others in this life, future lives, you even put your hands on top of your head because you give it the most supreme respect. May you achieve that quality in your life. Most supreme. And that's very beautiful. And that will transcend anything in this life. Benefiting others is the purpose to live. Benefiting others is the reason you get up in the morning. Benefiting others is the only reason you will sleep at night to refresh your body to do more. Benefiting others is the only reason you would be a sleep pig so that your body would be strong to benefit others. That is the only reason. And let's summarize and make it simple. That's the only reason you eat. That's the only reason you breathe. And that's the only reason you would do any work to benefit others. That's a state of mind called Arya. So when we put a victory umbrella over such a being, you create the causes to make that happen. Isn't that neat? All that wound up with just one little teeny happy. And it all started by crazy here asking, can it be triangular? Isn't that exciting? So what I want you three young fellas to achieve is, I don't want you to get into life. I don't want you or anyone to get into life and become older and become jaded and say, well, I have money and I have a relationship and I have kids or whatever you guys want. I have a car, but now what? And then you might go to drinking and womanizing or menizing or whatever to chase away all the blues. Or you might sink into depression. Before that happens, train your mind to serve others. People who serve others rarely become depressed or for long. Ready. People who indulge in themselves, take drugs, alcohol, you always see them in rehab. Think about it. So while you're young and your mind is fresh, cultivate the thought. I exist for others. And when you slip for others. Why? How can you slip for others? Simple. You can only slip if you're on an ongoing battle. So you even have slipped for others. You understand? Isn't that wonderful? Even slipping and feeling down sometimes is for others. Why? Pick feeling down and slip sometimes or all the time. Very simple. So your whole experience here, every single day you should rejoice because the time is coming to a close. And you should treasure every single day. Why? The training you had here, you're going to be sent back to samsara to deal with the mind. Here you deal physically with difficulty, but the mind is all right. Soon, you'll be sent back to samsara. Isn't that scary? No, it's not. What a beautiful experience it's been. What's the experience? You got the ladana, you paint, you got the curtains. Yes, you did that, and it's beautiful. Whatever. But the whole purpose is what? Because this will be blown away, you know, and within the century it'll be dust again. But your mind will not be. And the attainments that you got from being here will not become dust. You will carry that with you in every single lifetime. You understand that? Think about that. All Dharma work, do with great joy. All Dharma work, do with great enthusiasm. And no matter what the obstacles are, no matter what you have to do or what you have to feel, always do it with great enthusiasm and great happiness. Even if you slip. When you slip, don't get into I slip. Just unslip yourself. Don't get caught up in the slip. Because your slip is like that. Your victory is like that. Why get caught up with that? It's not purposeful. Think about that. And the whole purpose of being happy about Dharma work is touching the real self, which is being happy to serve others. And when it becomes spontaneous, you'll be very happy. Isn't that a wonderful thought? So do all Dharma work here in the Ladang or in Kichara Lounge. Great enthusiasm. without anyone pushing you, without anyone reminding you, without anyone having to do anything to make you do it. It comes from you, because your Arya mind is, you're getting in touch with your Arya mind. No one tells you. Hence, be responsible. Finish whatever you promised. Do not be prompted. Do not be pushed. Why? Because you're doing something really great. That's why. That's why. Last time going to clubs, sleeping with men, and all that stuff was very exciting. But that was for yourself. Now, relate that happiness to serving others. It happened. Why? Happiness towards something is just cultivation. That's it. Very exciting. So you guys should be very happy. Wow, tonight we get to go to the Bala Lab and set up a beautiful altar for Arya Vajugi. And we make beautiful offerings to recognize and to bring attention to her enlightened Arya mind. How fortunate we are. Great enthusiasm. Great. So when you know the benefit, you always be enthusiastic. That's called Dharma work. What's Dharma work? Benefiting others through your work. Isn't that exciting?
Good.